We're going to be in verse 11 starting. I want to say thank you to Randy for his great job on the last Zoom class. Randy did such an awesome job on last week's Zoom class. The decision was made just to stick a pin in it right there. It won't get any better, so that's the last Zoom class we're going to do. We're going to start meeting in person because it just couldn't get any better than Randy's class last week. And you notice there's nobody laughing, Randy. How do you like that? Either that or I have a really poor sense of humor, or they believe me, one of the two. But a really great job, and I appreciated Randy's thoughts and input and all of your comments in last week's class. I loved the point that Randy made about what's to fight for, and the idea that we fight for what God wants instead of what we want. If there's a struggle to be had, if there's a war, in fact, James 4:1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? And so the idea is we're going to have fights and quarrels. It better be about what God wants, not about what we want. And Randy was nice enough to leave me a question to deal with, and that's the definitive answer on who or what the Spirit is in chapter 4, verse 5, and I have an answer for that. I do have the once-for-all definitive answer for that question. James 4:5 says, or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? And so the conversation last week, and it was a great conversation, was about, is that Holy Spirit or is it our Spirit? And Randy talked a little bit about some principles for interpretation. And it's really kind of interesting when in the original Greek, there are no capital letters. They're all lowercase letters. There's no punctuation. There's no periods, exclamation points, question marks. And there's not even spaces between the words and the sentences. And so when you get it, when you get the original Greek, when you look at a manuscript, it's all these Greek letters thrown together, and you get to sort out how to separate them and pull them apart. And so the word there is pneuma, and is it the Spirit in 4:5? And the question is it our Spirit or the Holy Spirit? And I think Randy had 19 sources had available to you, and almost as equally as you can split 19, there was 9 that had the Spirit capitalized, I think. Was it 9? Okay, 9 capitalized for the Spirit, which meant the interpreters or translators read that that was the Holy Spirit, and 10 with a lowercase s, meaning our Spirit. And so it's kind of evenly divided. The sources I looked at are kind of the same way. You can pick and choose whatever you like. You can find something that says what you want to say. But Randy left the definitive answer for me this week, and so I do have the definitive answer. And it's the same answer that my mother gave me when I was a child and asked her a question, and she didn't have the answer to it, and that's, you can ask God when you get there. So I'm not sure. I don't know. I have an opinion, but it's worth what it costs you, nothing. And so we can ask either James or the Holy Spirit when we get to heaven, and they can tell us whether that's a capital S or a lowercase s, and then we can go from there. But a great class, Randy, and thank you. Thank you very much for filling in. You know, I've heard that before. I've heard that, and you're probably right. I'm still looking forward to having lots of conversations with people about stuff that I'm curious about when I study. I'm thinking there's lots of coffee to be had over a lot of conversations about stuff like that. Or as Rosalie said in, I think, Romans 6, what is faith unto faith or faith against faith? And I may not care, but man, right now in this fleshly world, that sounds pretty neat to me to sit down and have coffee with some of those guys and just ask them what they were thinking. All right, so tonight we're in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And basically the idea here is to be consistent in your walk with God. So let's read. It won't be on the screen. So let's read just a couple of verses, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss those. James 4, beginning in verse 11. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to serve and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? All right. So, we have the law. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. What is the law that James references here in verse 11? Is it the Old Testament law? By the way, it's not capitalized. But necessarily, I mean, it's not talking about the law of Moses, but is it the law of Moses? Or what law is James speaking out here when he says, if you slander, most translations say speak against someone or speak evil. What when you do that, you break the law. What's the law here? God's law? Okay. All right. So you're going to paint with a really broad brush here, Jerry. You're saying could be God's law. Now, when you say God's law, are you talking about the law of Moses, or are you just talking about God's commandments in general? Okay. So God's commandments in general. So we're in the Christian era where the Mosaic Law has been fulfilled, and now we've moved into the Christian covenant, okay? Or it could just be, say mankind's law, civic law. Is that what you're talking about? Okay, all right. Anybody else have a thought? Christ's law. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So there's rules and commandments in Christianity to obey. All right.
This seems to be aimed at people who are possessed, I guess, would be a nice word.
Possessed?
Saying you're not living right. And that seems to be, to me, that seems to be their main focus, is they're always
So you see this as James writing to people who seem very much preoccupied with how others live and needing to correct what they find as being shortfalls in the way other people live. They can't see the beam for the speck. Okay. And this is written to the 12 tribes that have been scattered among the nations, and so it is a fairly Jewish book. I was looking at some notes, and it was saying that verses 7 through 10 has 10 commandments in there. And I thought that was kind of interesting, which they don't list it 1 through 10, but there's 10 different verbs in there that are commandments. And so it is a fairly Jewish book written to the 12 tribes that have been scattered. But it's Christians, though. I mean, while it may have a Jewish flavor to it, it's a Christian writing to Christians, so it could very well be Christ's law. And they could by now have decided that now they know, you know, there's always that person in the church that knows everybody else ought to live, and maybe that's what they're talking about here. If you go back to what, Kenny, I saw your hand. If you go back to what Randy talked about last week, and verse 1, fights and quarrels. Some translations say wars, they battle within you, that war within you. I mean, you've got people that are killing and coveting, whether that's literal killing and coveting or whether it's figurative. This is some powerful, powerful language that the Spirit has inspired James to write to Christians about how to be people who are consistently Christian. And so that seems to be the case. There's people who are Christians who are in the world, probably in the Greek world, and they are finding it, if I'm reading this right, they're finding it very difficult to be consistently Christian, and that's what James is writing about. Here's how that looks. Kenny? Yeah.
You're
talking trash. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
according to Christ's law, love your neighbor as yourself. They're not loving their neighbor as themselves.
Right. They're lacking in love.
They're pretty much breaking the law, period, in every regard.
Yeah.
It's Christ's law, the law of liberty, the law of Moses.
I love it. Yeah. I love it when I have notes written down and somebody goes and somebody just plays right into those notes. Thank you for doing that, brother. I appreciate it. All right. We've already addressed this, or James has already addressed this in his writings. We've got James chapter 2, verse 8. We talk about royal law. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. And so this comes all the way back to, so I think the question is, what law is this? Is it the law of Moses? Is it the Christian law? Is it civil law? Probably the really broad brush that Jerry's painting with is probably the right brush to use. It's a broad spectrum because it goes back to, we have the royal law found in Scripture. Now, James is quoting, as Kenny mentioned to us, straight from Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 8. Love your neighbor as yourself. So this is nothing new. This is the commandment that goes all the way back to Leviticus. It goes all the way back to the beginning of God's relationship with the Israelites. It's God's commandment that you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. James has already called it the royal law. And so I'm thinking when we get to verse 11 and he talks about breaking the law, it's this royal law of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so what they're doing is their conversations, I'm going to suggest to each other and about each other, not just about each other, but about each other and to each other, are lacking in love. They're lacking in love. Now, what's interesting in this very, now that we're back in the Old Testament, back in Leviticus, let's just hang out there for a couple of minutes. Because what's interesting is, in the very same neighborhood as this passage from Leviticus 19, love your neighbor as yourself, is another commandment in Leviticus 19, missed a semicolon, and that is verse 16, the first part of verse 16, do not go about spreading slander. That's the NIV translation. But isn't that interesting? James is sitting here talking about the law, and you're breaking the law if you slander people. He's already called about the royal law of love in chapter 2. You go back to Leviticus where that royal law is found. And right in the same neighborhood, you've got this idea about slander. That tells me two things, but let me see what your thoughts are. What does that tell you when you find that there's a New Testament writer writing to New Testament Christians about the need to love your neighbor as yourself? And that in that umbrella of loving your neighbor as yourself, that does not include slander. And finding this the very same thing, almost within the same proximity, in Leviticus 19. What is that? What can we glean from that? Is there anything to be learned from that? So we have a principle is a principle. We have looking at it as a timeless principle, an eternal truth. The greatest commandment? Yeah. Yeah. Number one is love God with everything you got. Number two is, yeah. And all the law and the prophets hang on those two, right? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So first of all, we find if that's the case, if it's rooted in the Old Testament and it's explicitly stated again in the New Testament, we may be looking at a timeless principle. Or eternal truth. And I suggest to you that we are, because it's dealing with love. What else can we glean from this? What is there to learn when either as a parent, you have to keep telling your child the same thing over again, over and over and over, or as a child, you keep hearing the same thing over and over again from your parent? What does that tell you? It's important, and you better remember it. And maybe we're having a hard time locking that in, right? Maybe there's a hard time getting that timeless truth, that eternal principle, bored in here so that we can remember that. I don't know about you guys, but have you noticed how much movement, how profoundly we've moved. Have you noticed how profoundly human nature has advanced since Adam and Eve? How we've moved so far in our human nature from Adam and Eve that we're just completely different in nature than they were. I'm being facetious here. Or do you notice that God keeps having to say the same thing over and over and over again? Over and over and over again. You have to go back over the same territory. That's where we are right here. It's a timeless principle. It's eternal truth. It matters. And because human nature is what human nature is, we have to keep going over it over and again and again and again. So here's the call. Don't the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Old Testament, New Testament, and part of that, Leviticus 19:16 and James 4:11-12, is don't go around slandering. Well, all of our translations read slander. I take that back. I'm telling you a falsehood. Not all of them say slander. Some say speak against. Some say speak evil. So what does it mean to speak against someone? What does it mean to speak evil? And literally, what does it mean to slander? Somebody help me define slander. Kenny, you touched on it a second ago. You want to expand on that again?
It's basically when you're trying to say something to diminish someone's name. It's completely false. There's no basis for it, but you want someone to look at that individual and say, oh, that person's a bad person.
So when you're trying to tear somebody down, if you're trying to ruin their reputation, if you're trying to destroy their credibility,
yeah.
Okay.
All
right. This is from Nelson's Bible Dictionary. Evil, malicious talk intended to damage or destroy another person. Right. The most powerful lies are the ones that have a grain of truth to them. Right. And this, and in the social media or in media in general and in public, you hear the cancel culture, right? The phrase cancel culture. You're fine as long as you make somebody upset, then you make somebody upset, and next thing you know, they're going to cancel you. They're going to shut you out. They're going to shut you down. And it may be totally true. It may be just a little grain of truth, enough truth to give that slander some legs. The best way for slander to have some legs, some longevity to it, is to have enough truth that it makes you kind of question, right? Just enough, doesn't have to be all true, but just enough truth to make you go, that could be true. There's some young lady who's the darling of TikTok. I don't know anything more than that, but evidently she's gotten crossways with somebody, and she's been in the cancel culture. Just shut her down. Ellen DeGeneres, after 19 years, is shutting down because of a toxic workplace. May or may not be true. I don't know. Everywhere you look, there's this idea of if you step out of line. There was somebody in the GOP who didn't. You know what I'm talking about? There was somebody in the GOP who's just stepped down because he didn't toe the party line. Okay. So just all you got to do is step out of line. Whatever line you're in, whatever group you're dancing with, you step out of line, and you're out. Now, let me ask you this. We've talked about stuff that's false, evil, malicious talk intended to damage or destroy another person. I'm going to suggest to you that it's maybe even a little broader than that. This is Nelson's Bible Dictionary. International Standard Bible Dictionary, Bible Encyclopedia, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. An accusation maliciously uttered with the purpose or effect of damaging the reputation of another. That's pretty consistent. As a rule, it's a false charge, but it may be a truth circulated insidiously and with a hostile purpose. Now, I don't know about you, church, but you look at those two definitions and you think, why in the world would a Christian need to write to other Christians and say, don't do that? Thank goodness, in the 2,000 years since James wrote this, the church has matured and evolved so that this message is moot and no longer necessary in the church, right? Yeah.
We can fall into this very easily without even realizing that's exactly what we're doing. Just as I need to get this off my chest, we'll say something like that. When it's like you're talking about something without even having the facts because you didn't go to the person in the first place to confirm whether or not it's even true.
So, Kenny, are you suggesting, and I'm going to take great offense to this if you say yes, are you suggesting that this problem still exists in the church today?
Absolutely.
Man. You're a glass half empty kind of guy, aren't you? And I'm being facetious. And you know that, right? I was waiting for one of y'all to say this, and you haven't yet. So, I mean, everybody's kind of been locked in exactly where we've been going. So I thought somebody would throw this out there. You've probably heard this. In the church today, there's more gossip spread in the name of prayer requests. Did you hear about Sister So-and-so? And I'm just saying we need to be praying for Sister So-and-so. Because you hear about her? Did you hear about Brother Such-and-such? If you haven't heard, well, we need to be praying for them. Where is that passage? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is beneficial for building others up. Where is that? Bless you. Anyway. You're familiar with it, right? I told you years and years ago, I may have already told you this, I think I already have. Years and years ago, I read that and I thought, you know, I can be the glass half empty guy who finds things to complain about. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to run this little, I'm just going to put a little grid, a little filter right here, somewhere between my head and my mouth, my brain and my mouth, that before something comes out, I'm going to ask myself, is it beneficial? Is it building up? And if it's not, I'm just not going to say it. Boy, I wish I had that filter back because it went away. It was amazing how little I talked that week. But doesn't it break your heart that a Christian has to write this to Christians? For them not to devour each other, tear each other down with words? And yet the same thing happens. And like Kenny said, sometimes it's done. It's such a part of our world. I'm 108 years old. I remember back when politics, they used to complain when people threw mud at each other during campaigns. Before it became a rite of passage and an embedded part of what politics is all about. It was considered a loss when someone felt like they had to degrade back to throwing mud. To speaking ill of their opponent, when they couldn't talk about what they were going to do and instead of tearing down the opponent. I remember when that was considered a weak standpoint. If you can't talk about what you're going to do, you have to talk about what this person hasn't done, then that doesn't say much for your stance. And now throwing trash is just an embedded part of what we're about. But we live in a world that loves to do that. And this is my opinion. It's worth what it costs you. I think social media just makes that much easier because I can trash talk you and never look you in the face. And sometimes it gives people permission to be nastier, more unkind, less Christian, even Christians, than we would be if we were face to face. So here we are. Don't slander one another. Don't speak against one another. Don't speak evil. It's not living according to the law of love. Some things and some biblical examples of loveless, slanderous words, loveless, slanderous speech. In Psalm 15 includes lying. Just telling a lie about someone. In Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 19, it's bearing a false witness against someone. In Proverbs 11, verse 13, it's just gossip. So help me. Somebody help me define gossip. Can gossip?
I want to say it's the same as slander.
It's definitely a close cousin to slander if it's not the same, right? Yeah. Cindy? Telling stories not yours to tell. Now, they can be true stories, right? They can be false stories. They can be embellished stories. But they're not yours to tell. They're not yours to tell. And I suspect that while Bruce has a great point, gossip and slander, are they the same thing or are they kissing cousins? You know, that phrase, are you okay with that phrase? Is that a Texas phrase? I was up north talking to somebody somewhere at church, and I said something, I don't remember where I was, but it wasn't Texas. And I was talking to somebody, a group of people, and I said, you know, if that didn't make sense, we can go back and re-lick the calf. And a few of them started talking to me, they're like, what is the word? Is he talking about re-lick? So I had to explain what re-lick the calf means. Do y'all know what re-lick the calf means? Okay, all right. Is gossip and slander the same thing, or are they just extremely close? Brianna and then Todd. I have the best motives of all, yeah. And if you ever hear, we may be close enough, we may be still far enough south down here. If you ever hear somebody say, bless her heart, it's all bets are off, right? Todd, you had something? Gossip, yeah. You can either, if the intent is malicious slander, you can either look at the person that's being slandered and think that's not the character I know for that person. Or look at the person doing the slandering and go, okay, you know the source. Gossip can be a lot sneakier. That kind of what Brian was talking about, right? That can be a lot sneakier. And because of that, you say even more damaging. And even people who would never give themselves permission to slander might either purposely or inadvertently give themselves permission to gossip. So, interesting point. All right, so let's work a little bit here. Great conversation. Yeah.
I remember back in the fifth grade, we played a game called Gossip.
Yeah. Okay, you call it Gossip?
It starts with one person, they teacher whispers something. And
right.
Okay, you tell the next person to whisper to
them. Right.
By the time it gets around the room, it's totally
different than when it started. What else? What other names have you heard that called? Telephone? Okay. Yeah, you sit in a circle and you come with a pretty simple phrase, you know, and then you whisper to the person next to you, and then the person that passes along. By the time it gets back to you, it's totally different. And that's very true. Things tend to have a tendency to morph, and usually they morph toward the more spectacular. All right, so let's look at that. Slander, speaking evil, speaking against someone is not the law of love. And it talks about judging. Where am I? 4:11. Let's pick up verse 11. Brothers, do not slander one another, speak evil against one another, speak against one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother judges him, speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. So let's talk a minute about what's the difference between making judgment and passing judgments. Is it... Now, if I was a teenager, and by the way, you teenagers, I love you very much, but I pick on you sometimes because I was the classic teenager problem child when I was a teenager. So if I pick on teenagers, it's just me falling back on my childhood. If I was a teenager reading that, I'd go say, now, you can't tell me what to do, Mom and Dad. You can't tell me what friends to hang out with. You can't tell me what to do because that's judging, and you're not, the Bible says you can't judge. So you help me with that. Brody's going, I'm writing that down. I saw that, Brody. You're writing it. I'm telling Mom that next time she tells me I can't. What's the difference between making judgments and passing judgment? What are you going to tell me when I come to you and you say, well, you know, David, I don't think you ought to be doing that because that's really not Christian. I don't think you'd be hanging out with those people because I don't think they're a Christian example. And I say, well, you can't judge me. You can't judge them. There's no, you can't judge. What are you going to tell me? Boy, I hope you got a better answer than that. Jennifer? Yeah. Be great if you could quote some scripture, maybe.
Yeah.
A little authoritative source. Yeah, some authoritative source. Perfect for that. Thank you. Yeah. Is it okay for Christians to make judgments? You sure? Are we going to correct somebody else? Are we going to correct ourselves? We don't make judgments. It's not going to be on the screen, but if you want to, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Bad company does what? Corrupts good character. Well, okay. If that's written by the Holy Spirit, inspired Paul to write that to Christians, that should be of some value to people who follow Christ and want to walk with God. So how am I going to know what bad company is if I don't make some judgments? By the way, when my kids came to me and said, you can't tell me who to hang out with, that's exactly where I went. Chapter and verse. Let's look at another one. We're here. Let's stay in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to verse 11. In 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 5. 1 Corinthians 5, not 15, 5:11. Christians are being charged with maintaining the moral integrity of the church. And one of the ways that they're charged with maintaining the moral integrity of the church is by not associating with, and here's the quote from 1 Corinthians 5:11, not associating, quote, with anyone who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. So here's the idea of making judgment. You got to make judgments. Is this the right place for me to be? Is this the right thing for me to be doing? Are these the right people for me to be hanging out with? Making judgments. Now, that's not what James is condemning here in James 4:11 and 12. Let's go back to that real quick. That's not what's being condemned here in 4:11 and 12. What's being condemned is passing judgment. And the best way I know of to put that is sitting in God's judgment seat. Who's in, who's out, who's right, who's wrong. God gets to make that judgment. And that's what it says in verse 12. There's only one lawgiver and judge. There's only one person who has the right to sit in the judgment seat and say, you're to my left, you're to my right, you're the sheep, you're the goats. Depart from me, I never knew you. Enter into your rest. There's only one person who gets to do that. And if somebody sits in God's judgment seat, passing judgment, then they've overstepped their bounds. They're in a place where they don't belong to be. We have the responsibility to make judgment calls, but only God has the right to pass final judgment on the world. Does that make sense? Okay. Right. Yes. And so you're making a judgment that that person is in a dangerous place, and out of love and care, you want to come alongside them and say, I'm concerned.
Exactly.
Instead of passing judgment, saying, you better stop it, you're going to hell.
Yeah, you go to them,
And he was very uncomfortable around that person. And actually, I ran into him outside of the congregation. They didn't run into him. And I said, hey, why don't you? And he's like, I just don't feel comfortable there right now.
Yeah.
She was well liked. It wasn't that he wasn't well liked, but it was just like,
yeah.
It just didn't look good. He was uncomfortable on her. So he said, I'm just going over here. I'm going over here. And I remember I encouraged him. I said, why don't you come in on Sunday night? And we'll, I said, I'll sit with you and stuff. He shows up that night, you know, and I didn't catch him until literally a group of Christians from that congregation rushed him and basically told him that he was absolutely wrong for missing. No one even tried to understand why he was wrong.
Right.
I was the one who did it. My mindset was based off of the righteous judgment of
right.
This guy he's a good Christian. Why is he missing? They automatically assumed that he just had bailed on the church.
Right.
He had not bailed on the church. And then after that, he was gone for like 3 months because he told me, he's like, they all told me that I was wrong and they judged my appearance.
It's that old saying, we shoot our wounded, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we shoot our wounded. Yeah.
That's true. It looks suspicious. We jump to conclusions because we think we know everything. Instead of trying to figure out, is this actually right?
Good point. Thank you, Kenny. Yeah, that... speaking the truth in love. You've got to come to people in love instead of condemnation. Even if you have to tell them that you're worried about their eternal destiny. I remember where I heard this. It's not from me. It's not original. But someone said, if you have to tell someone that you're concerned about their eternal destiny, it ought to break your heart. You shouldn't do it with glee. If you find any joy in telling someone you think they're on the wrong road, then it's not coming from a place of love. It ought to break your heart to have to tell somebody that. Just as much it would break God's heart to send them somewhere besides heaven. All right, well, I have not practiced very good time management tonight. We didn't get past 2 verses. I hope the conversation has been well and good enough to justify that camp out in these 2 verses. Thoughts, comments, other than what we've already done? Cindy? Yeah.
The gospel to be effective. And somebody might feel like they're innocent and they just said it wasn't and don't repeat it. But I think you hold some sort of accountability if you sit there and listen to the gossip, you know, and eat it up, but you don't repeat it, you can be just as guilty. I had a good friend once that had a situation in church, and there was a young single mom, and some of the members were. Couple of women were saying a couple of things about her that were, he wasn't hiring. She was trying her best. She turned it back around. You gotta be careful. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. You don't want to tell them to be quiet. You don't want to walk away, but you don't want to take part in that. But she made a comment back in a very complimentary, you know, what a wonderful job she was doing getting those people.
Okay. Yeah. The excellent point. It takes 2 to gossip. It takes 2 to slander. It takes 1 to say it and 1 to hear it. One to listen to it. Yeah. Well, you know, that's a. Are you asking how you shut it down? All right. Let's close with a prayer. No. I came across a situation one time. I went to a seminar for teachers and ministers workshop, and we had this lunch break. And I'm sitting down with some guys, and I don't know about you guys, but if you're one of those who just never met a stranger, then bless your heart. When I go sit down in a place like that, it's like, I'm going to sit down and eat, and I'll be over here by myself, and nobody watch me. But I got out of my comfort zone, was sitting with some guys, a couple of other preachers, and kind of talking with them. Where are you from? What do you do? Da, 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 trying to visit. And the preacher to the congregation that was hosting this seminar came over, and he knew those 2 guys very well, didn't know me from Adam. And he was trying to be, a gracious host. I think he was trying to make people feel welcome. So he started telling a joke. And it was a horribly racist joke. He's a white guy around a bunch of white people at a white congregation, and forgive me for labeling it like that, but that's the truth. And it was just an incredibly racist joke. And I was fairly new at this at the time. And, you know, if you're like me, sometimes the people who disappoint you the most are the ones that you think are the ones that are your brothers and sisters who have the same values and the same, and believe me, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but who share the same values and the same goals and aspirations you do. And for somebody to seemingly just take those goals and aspirations and just throw them to the side and get down in the gutter and tell a racist joke in the middle of a Christian seminar from the preacher who's the host, and I couldn't believe I'm listening. So I'm sitting there thinking, what do I do here? Do I throw my mashed potatoes at him? Do I laugh kindly? You know, what do I do? And I just got up and walked away. And I didn't say anything. I just got up and walked away. I'd like to, that was one, and I count that as a high point in for me, because there's been times that I've sat there and listened. There's been times that I've been that other half that didn't need to be there. So I think, I'll say this much, and you'll probably get a lot better counsel from a lot of different people, but it's a great question you ask. Whatever we do, we need to take the high road. Whatever we do, we need to take the high road. If that's coming alongside and saying, brother, I love you, but I'm not sure that's wholesome talk, and it concerns me. The part I have, Brown, the struggle with is when what starts with the honest concern kind of morphs into gossip. That happens a lot of times. You know, we're going to start with a concern, and by the time we get through talking about the concern, it's kind of morphed into gossip. And somewhere along the line, you guys say, okay, now wait a minute. I think we may be crossing a line here. I have a note in here that's called Sins of the Tongue. It goes all the way back to where the tongue is a spark that burns the forest down, or the rudder that turns the ship, the bit that turns the horse. And isn't it interesting that we're in chapter 4, all way away from that, and we're still talking about sins of the tongue? It's clearly a challenge for even the most sincere Christian. And I guess maybe most, if not all of us, have fallen short of that on one or two occasions. All right, I'm over time. I appreciate your help. I'll work on time management, see if we can move further faster. But I appreciate your input. Great conversation. Can you? Right.
Before you start speaking about someone. And there's times where I say, Ron, and I'll say something like, Mike, I need your advice on how to talk to him. He's like, oh.
Kind of go back to what Todd was talking about. Sometimes you know people's character, and when you see them coming, you think this may be either this is somebody I can trust or this is somebody that I need to be careful of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's one thing he does. He'll say, I need to talk to this person about it.
All right. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate your help. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll have a devotional.